Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
All right, well, this is what we're going to do. I need you to get your pads, a paper, your notebooks, and write this down. The title of the message tonight is, Fear Cannot Speak to My Faith. Where did this come from? Pastor Dan and I were driving right when this whole thing had started, and we were kind of just going over different circumstances that we had found ourselves in, different conversations we had been having with people. And in these conversations, there was a common denominator, and it was fear. And out of every conversation, the bottom line of it was fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of what's to come, fear of a virus, fear of what we're seeing right now, people not having jobs and economies crashing and all. Fear, fear, fear. And I could feel it almost beginning to sit on me. Did you know that fear is a spirit? The Bible says, I do not have a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. That means that it is a spirit that comes to rest and to bug us and to twerk us and to bind us and to confine us. And so I could feel it as we were talking, and something in my spirit man just rose up out of me, and I said, well, their fear will not be allowed to speak to my faith. And it was just like a declaration inside of me, and it became something I would say to myself daily when I would turn the news on and I was hearing them, or when I would have a conversation with somebody who really was in fear, and I could tell they were in fear, and I was trying not to be too pastory or preach at them, but I could hear the fear talking. And inside I was like, nope, you stay in faith. Don't let the fear jump on you. Do not let that overtake you, Jess. And I believe that was a word from the Lord. It was a declaration for what it is we're in right now. And church, if we could learn this, that the world is full of fear, but we as the church of the Most High God do not have to allow that fear to speak to our faith. And our faith is stronger than we know. And it is time for us in our lethargic way of being just home, just wearing normal clothes. I mean, I had to get dressed today and my hair is growing out, and I had to put on eyelashes, and I didn't even know how to do that. So if one is hanging off of my face later on when I'm preaching, still love me, okay? Because we don't even know how to get dressed anymore, because we've not been dressing up for anything. And so our world and our society doesn't even know how to be society anymore. You will see when you get back out there. And I'm here to say to you, that could be a fearful thing. That could be a lethargic, a place of dormant, a place of not moving or going anywhere. And God is here to say to us tonight, church, I need you to stir yourselves up. I need you to recognize your opponent, which is fear. And I need you to allow faith to arise. And I need you to get your swords out and your shields up. And I need you to get ready for what is ahead. Because God is going to use us, and our faith is going to take us further and farther than you will ever know or see, because God has our back. And so here we go. Let's get into this. What does fear do? Fear versus faith. I wrote a few things down. Fear speaks chaos. Wait, does that sound like right now? Chaos? It speaks panic. It speaks confusion. That sounds like fear. It complains a lot. Some of you are like, ugh, maybe I'm in fear. I'm complaining a lot. Maybe you are. Let's examine ourselves. Listen, Pastor Jess has been there. I am there every other day, and Pastor Dan has to talk me back into faith. Listen, I'm not living this out any more than you are. We are all in this boat together. We are all human. We are striving to be more like God every single day. So listen, fear complains a lot. Fear is not consistent. That means it's here one day, it's there another day, it's up one day, it's down another day. When there's that, you can know what's behind it. Chaos, confusion, complaining, consistent, not consistent. It is very complacent. But yet, let's see what faith is. Faith speaks life. Faith speaks hope. Isn't that good? We need hope now. Faith speaks supernatural power working on our behalf as Christians. It speaks the impossible into possible. Faith moves the non-existent into the existence of now. Woo, that's good. It's immovable. It's creative. Faith completes us. God has his perfect faith completed in you and I. Did you know that? And so that's what we need to tap into, Christians. That's what God is asking us to pull out of ourselves and to step aside from fear and to step into faith. How do we do this? How do we step into this? And you see, fear is a good thing. You say, wait a second, you just said it was a bad thing. It's a bad thing when it's the fear of the world, and Satan is the father of all lies, and when fear is lying to us, which I feel like we're being lied to a lot right now, then God comes in and the spirit of truth can bring a revelation to us. But our Father God, who is in heaven, says, it is good for you to fear me. Now, what kind of fear is that? That's a different kind of fear than I've been talking about. That chaos, confusion, complaining, that is not the fear I'm talking about with God. The fear of God is an awe and a reverence and a respect for our Father. This is a lost art in our society. People have no respect for authority. They don't understand that God has placed authority in the kingdom. And that's why our world right now, guys, is falling apart, because there is a lack of authority and respect for the positions of authority. And God says, I am God and you are to fear me. And where does that start? Wisdom starts in the house of God. And wisdom comes from the fear of God. Did you know that having a healthy fear of God will keep you? It will keep you from doing wrong things. It will keep you from not going down places and paths you shouldn't. It's like a father with a child. I think about my husband. My boys and my daughter have a healthy fear of Dan. When Dan says something in a certain voice, I can't even do it, so I won't try. But when he does it, they pay attention. They stand at attention. They kind of look at me like, Mom, save me. And I'm like, that's on you. I got your dad's back. And so when Dan says it in that voice and that authority, they know don't cross that line. Because if they do, they're going to get themselves in trouble. And that voice is coming from a place of love. Coming from a place of don't go there. Come on, come back over this way so that you stay safe. You see, God loves you so much that a healthy fear of God will bring wisdom to your life. A healthy fear of God will bring direction to your life. A healthy fear of God will keep you safe as that child and that father. The father doesn't get mad or punish their child because they're mad at them. No, they do it because they love them and they're keeping them from danger. That's what God does with us. So now that we understand fear with God and fear in the world, let's step into this and let's be children that walk out our lives in faith. And how do we do this? This is what we're going to learn tonight. It says, how can we keep ourselves in line with faith and not step into fear? It's very easy to step into fear. How about this? Ready? Write it down. Listen to your father. We just talked about the father and the child, and Pastor Jim has preached such an amazing word about this a few weeks ago, about listening to the father, listening to the voice of God. See, God is talking to us all day long, every day. He's just waiting for us to be quiet enough to listen. And I believe God wants to speak some things into your heart that maybe you haven't been listening, or you've been busy, or you've been in these chaotic moments. I believe God wants to show you what to do in these times. See, this takes great trust. This takes great faith. You want to listen to someone you love. You want to trust someone that you feel comfortable and close with. That's where God says, let me come in and let me speak into your life, because I'm the one word that will stay consistent. I am the one voice that will stay steady in these times of uncertainty. I am the one place where you can be raw with me, and you can open yourself up to me, and you can be who you are, and I already know, but yet I will put you back together, and I will take care of you piece by piece, because I am your God and I love you. You see, God says, would you just listen to me? That's how we can keep ourselves in faith, because when we start listening to other things around us, our attention span just goes in many different places. Do you remember that movie? I think it was Up, where the dog would just say, they'd say squirrel, and we go, oh. And I feel like that sometimes us as Christians, like, we're listening to God and then squirrel, oh, wait, we're going over here. This is funner. And we have something else to do. And you know, our world was so full and it was so busy of every sport you could think of every movie you could think of every Disneyland trip. Californians, you've been there way too much, really. And of everything, and everything's been stripped from us. And yet God is saying, will you listen now? Can you listen now? Quit being distracted by everything and just lean in, because I have something for you. So staying in faith and listening to God, let's learn from a young man named Samuel. Go with me to 1 Samuel 3 through 11. And it says, the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Let me just say, wow. Like, to be able to sleep right where the ark of God was, that is a chosen position. God chose him. He was ordaining him. He was filling him. He was teaching him. And this is what God says. And Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle next to the ark. And suddenly the Lord called out to Samuel. Yes, Samuel replied. What is it? And he got up and he ran to Eli. He said, here I am. Did you call me? I didn't call you, said Eli. Go back to bed. And so he did. Verse 6, and says, then the Lord called out again, Samuel. Again, Samuel got up and he went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? I didn't call you, my son, Eli said. Go back to bed. Samuel did not yet know that the Lord, because he had never had a message from God before. Some of you have never actually heard from the voice of God yet. That could be a trippy thing. Like, I think I was hearing from God. I remember the first time as a young child, I heard the voice of God and it was like, was that me or was that God? And you could ask those questions, but usually God speaks things that you would not say to yourself. And so here is Samuel. So Samuel, he said in verse 9, he said, Samuel, go and lie down again. And if someone calls you again and says, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to bed. And the Lord came and he called Samuel before. Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, speak, your servant is listening. Church, we need to be a church that when God wakes us up in the middle of the night, when God interrupts our day in the middle of the day, in the middle of homeschooling, when you are at the grocery store and you're frustrated and God says, back off. Smile at that person. Don't you be like them. You're different than them. You have me living on the inside of you. You say, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. You are on mission right now, church. You are the light in all of this darkness. I know that maybe you feel like you're caught up in this darkness, but you're not. You're set apart. You're a different kind of people because God has chosen you like Samuel. God is speaking to us, church, like Samuel. And so we need to listen for our Father's voice. I'm going to just let that go. And then God begins to speak to Samuel later. And Samuel gets into it. And God gives him plans for Israel. It's just a beautiful relationship. And he learns how to hear the voice of God. We as a church need to learn to listen to our Father. In Romans, it talks about, I just love how he says this. So faith comes by hearing. That is hearing the good news about Christ. What is the good news, church? This is the good news. How do you hear the voice of God? Get into your Bible. Get into a paper Bible again. Get into the Psalms and the Proverbs. Get into Matthew and Mark and Luke and John for yourself. Learn this up and down, because when you read this, you will be able to have downloads from the Holy Spirit speaking to you about your faith, about your direction, about your wisdom for the day. He's going to speak because he's been waiting for you to listen. So number one, how do we stay in faith? We listen to God. Number two, you ready? We have to speak faith over the fear. Ooh, speak faith over the fear. What do you mean by that? So many times fear is speaking to us. It's actually a very loud voice in our lives. And it can come from us. It can come from other people. And I believe that God is saying to us, would you begin to understand that the words that you are speaking out of your mouth actually create what it is that you are speaking into your life. You go, oh, whoa, here she goes, that name it, claim it lady, the blab it, grab it. Well, you know what? The word of God says it. And so if the word says it, then I believe it. And when God spoke to things, it came to pass. When he spoke to that fig tree, it dried up. When he laid hands on the sick and he said, be healed from the blind, they were recovered. You see, if Jesus can do that. And then he went and he sat at the right hand of the Father and he left his authority to us, church. Then why is it that we don't walk this out and speak life over our everyday? I'm asking the same question to myself, because guess what? I had a fit this week. I was mad this week. Why do we have to stay in our houses? Why does this have to happen? Da, 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 da. Now listen, I'm also grieving for my father-in-law passing a few weeks ago. So I have a feeling that some of the anger I'm feeling is just part of the process. But the reality of this is that I'm still human and I still have these feelings. And the Holy Spirit said to me, what are you speaking? What are you saying today when I was in prayer? What are you saying about this? You're mad at this person. You're mad at the circumstance here. But what are you saying to reverse it? And I was like, ooh, I'm not speaking the reverse. I've got to begin to speak the reverse of what I'm seeing on the news. I've got to begin to say the opposite of what is being said out there. And so right now, when we were praying, I was like, Lord, you're going to stop this. You're going to bring people back where we can worship together, where we can greet each other with a brotherly kiss like your word says, where we can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, where we can go be neighbors to each other and be kind and love each other as neighbors do. You see, that is what God has called us to do as Christians. And my spirit man is longing for that. But I've got to speak these things over it. So there's a book that I was reading a part of, and it was called Restoring Your Shield of Faith. And it says, faith has a voice. It is very noticeable. If you are listening to someone speak, it can detect his or her faith. So what are you speaking? What are you saying out of your mouth? What are the people around you speaking? What is being poured into your spirit, man? Let's, church, guard our hearts, and let's begin to speak life again. Romans 10, 8 through 9 is talking about our salvation, and that just doesn't come on its own. But listen to what the word says. It says, but what does it say? That's speaking. The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raised from the dead, you will be saved. So in order for us to get saved, be on our way to heaven, say yes to Jesus, what has to happen? I have to speak it. I have to say I believe and confess with my mouth. I have to pray and ask the Lord to come into my heart and be the Lord and Savior of my life. That means my words have power to bring me to a point of salvation. Then guess what else your words have power over? To change and reverse the power of the darkness. Our words, when we speak them, they speak life. And it's like an arrow shooting into the darkness and dividing it. And light just comes through and breaks through. You see, your tongue has power. What are we speaking? Speaking over our families? What are we speaking over our husbands and our wives? I saw this sign, and it was a bit comical. I saw it on the news, and it was a big sign, and it said, husband for sale after this pandemic. And I thought to myself, she's not speaking life over her husband. And you know what? We need to change our confession. We need to change what we're saying over our world, over our families, over our children, over our church, over your business, over your finances, over the things that we don't get or understand. Guess what? Start to speak what you know God is saying about it. And change the confession. R.W. Taylor says, faith never arises over its confession. Woo! God said it and it is done. We can think all day long, but until the faith takes form with a confession or speaking, nothing will happen. Norman Grubb calls this the summit of faith. What are you speaking? What confession do you need to begin to say over yourself? When you don't understand, or when you're frustrated, when you feel afraid. I remember the Lord brought this back to my memory when I would get up really early in the morning back in the day when gyms were open, and it was like my time without children, and so it was great. And so I would go to the garage, and it was really dark outside. And I remember thinking, because I have a detached garage, ooh, this is creepy. And I remember just feeling like afraid. Have you ever just felt really afraid? Maybe you walk into your house alone and you kind of have that feeling. And I remember the Holy Spirit say, don't you dare. I'm always with you. And I was like, okay. And then he would say, what do you say? I do not have a spirit of fear, but I have power and I have love and I have a sound mind. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And I would say that all the way to the garage. And guess what? I was fine and I was safe everywhere I went. But I had to fill my spirit man up, and I had to speak the word of God over the situation so that my mind and my heart would not lead me to places that would bring fear. But I had to put myself back in faith to be able to do what it is that I needed to do. And so God has your back. Get the word into you. Begin to speak faith. Jesus spoke and people were healed. I love in the Old Testament how God saith, God saith, God saith. And right after God saith, guess what happened? The whole world was existent. There was like the Red Sea parted. You know, Moses had the Ten Commandments. I mean, God did a lot of amazing things when he speaks. In the New Testament, what happened? God healed people. He spoke and there were miracles. There was wine into water, and there was bread and fish into thousands, feeding thousands. You see, God spoke and it came into existence. Then the disciples and the people that followed him began to pray and speak faith and healing over people, and they were seeing signs and miracles and wonders. Church, what if it is that God is saying, I need you to speak. So I need you to speak in faith so that signs and miracles and wonders begin to start working on your behalf, in your businesses, in your families, in the person sitting next to you tonight, single people, in the one that isn't with you yet, because God is preparing them right for you right now. And I believe God has a miracle. God wants to do some miracles, but we got to speak the word over our lives. Our word has power, and faith needs to be what we speak, not fear. Fear is power too. So which power are you going to allow rule your life? Fear or faith? Tonight, I hope you say faith, because let's do this together. Let's allow faith to arise in us. Let's allow fear to die in us. Let's speak life over our world. Let's speak life over our governor. Let's speak life over our president. Let's speak life over the church of God. We are not divided. We are together. There is more of us out there than anybody even knows. It is a silent, arising army, and we are all together in this. And let me tell you, I was listening to pastors today, and I was hearing what they were going through in different parts of the world. And I'm hearing, you know what I'm hearing? I'm hearing God building his church. I'm hearing God bringing people to his bosom, and he's equipping us, and he's ready to send us out, and he's going to launch us, and God is going to pour out his spirit on this earth. I'm telling you right, mark my words, revival is coming. God wants to move. God is speaking. Faith will come out of this. Fear will die and have no place. And so that is our confession, church. We need to speak life. Proverbs 8:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit. Woo, be careful what we're eating on. Speak life over your families. Speak life over your children. Speak life over yourself. Isaiah 55:11, I'm going to leave you with this verse really quick on this point. It says, so shall the word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. What are you speaking? Because God right here is saying, if you say it and you speak it, then it will not return void. Now listen, if it lines up with the will of God, not some random floozy, crazy thing. Don't be out there all like, oh, I want so-and-so's husband, and Lord, give me like a gazillion dollars and do nothing, sit on your butt at home and eat like donuts. You've got to get out there and make things happen. God's got to know that he's got to bless you. You've got to get off your duff, and you got to go do something for the kingdom. And see, God is saying, it shall not return to him void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing in which I sent it. You see, God is saying, come on, use your words to speak life over this situation. Use your words to speak life over what is happening right now. Number three, how do we keep ourselves in faith? We've got to put our faith to action. What does this look like? In James 2:20-26, it says, how foolish. You say, why are you yelling at us, Pastor Jess? I'm not. There's actually an exclamation mark in the Bible reference. How foolish. Can't you see faith without good deeds is useless? Don't you remember that our ancestors, Abraham, who was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? Do you remember that? Verse 22, you see his father and his actions worked together. His actions made his faith complete. Hold on. So you're telling me that when I put my faith out there and then I put my feet to it and I begin to put my hands to what it is God's asking me to do, that blessing is going to come around the corner, that breakthrough is about to open up, that faith is about to be activated. Yes, that is exactly what I'm saying to you. You're going to see your miracle like Abraham did. You will see faith and his actions work together, and his actions made his faith complete. We need our faith to be complete. And so it happened just as the scripture said, Abraham believed God, and God counted his righteousness because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. I love that. Rahab the prostitute, whoa. Are we talking about prostitutes in this house? We are. The Bible is ratchet. The Bible has a lot of crazy stories. You read the Old Testament, I'm telling you, it's rough. I have to close my kids' ears at times. Like, okay, I'll have to explain that later when you get a little older. Because God brought it out. He put it all out there and he said, nothing you've done is too big for me. I can even use Rahab, who was a prostitute. And what she did, she was another beautiful example, the Bible says. She was shown to be right with God. Her actions when she hid those messengers, and she sent them safely away down a different road. Just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. Whew. Guys, let's put our faith to action. How do we do that when we're locked in a house? How do I do that when I don't know, like, where I can go? There's nothing I could do. Well, listen, there's a woman in our church. She's an amazing woman, and she is posting all these. I can tell she is hearing the voice of God because every day she has a new mission she's on. She's either taking coffee to somebody. She's taking the first line responders, like pictures, and asking us to have our kids make these things. The other day she brought food to a family, to a single mom in our church who's the most amazing woman in the whole world. And she gathered food, and she loved on her. You see, what can you do for someone else? What can you do with your faith? Because your faith is speaking to those around you. Your faith is speaking to those in fear. They're watching you and going, what do they have that I don't have? But you know what? You have faith. Exodus 31, the Lord wants to do something in us. I want you to turn to Exodus 31. Some of you are sitting in your houses tonight saying, well, you know, I just don't even know. I don't know. Pastor Jess, I have no talents. I don't have gifts. That, if you know me, that's always what I'm saying because I'm married to a man that can do anything. I mean, he puts his hand to it and he just makes it happen. I'm surrounded by geniuses, honestly. And then there's little old me. And I'm not like the girl who's like, okay, I can do that. I'm like, talk myself out of it before I even start. And so I'm here to tell you tonight that I had to put some faith into some things that I was being challenged to do. So when this whole thing happened, they were asking us to get online, and they were asking us to record, and they were asking us to learn new programs. And I'm like, I'm not good with computers. And I'm not, you know, I'm not savvy with these things. And I heard the Holy Spirit go, why can't you begin? I can teach you. You have me living on the inside. What are you saying you can't? And he got on me because I'm talking to the girls on the PMs about being an I can woman. And so I was like, oh, I'm an I can girl. I need to do this. And I'm telling you, I have learned new skills, new inventions. I have learned new ways to do things in our home. I am learning how to do things. So if God can do it for me, he can do it for you. But let's watch in Exodus how the Lord blesses people and he puts giftings on them. He's talking to Moses and he's giving Moses what he needs. He says, Moses, look, I have specifically chosen the son of Eri and Hur and the tribe of Judah. I have filled him with the Spirit of God. Hold on. Are you filled with the Spirit of God? So was he. That means if we have Jesus Christ living on the inside of us and the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives, we are ready. We are on ready. He is going to fill us. He's going to use us. He's going to help us put our faith to action. It says, giving him wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of crafts. He is a master craftsman, expert in working with gold and silver and bronze. He is skilled with engraving and mounting gemstones and carving wood. He is the master at every craft. All I have personally appointed Eliab and the tribe of Dan to be his assistant. Moreover, I have given him special skills to all be gifted craftsmen so that they can make the things that I have commanded you to make. Hold on. Moses had a job. God asked him to do something. But then God said, I'm not going to tell you to do something because he was listening to God and he had assignment and he had faith to do it. But God said, but I'm going to equip you in your faith so you can go out and make it happen. And so God gave him what he needed to get the job done. Listen, God is going to give you what you need. You need creativity. You need innovation right now. And guess what? You don't know how to be that teacher or how to entertain these kids for so long. Oh my goodness, I know. You have the little ones. I'm praying for those mamas with the little kids that they are just, you are their play person. You play mini games all day long and puzzles over and over and over again. And you sing Shark Baby, do, 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 and you just sing that over and over and over again. You think it in your head when you go to sleep at night. I'm here to tell you, God's got your back. You're not alone in this. And you can get wisdom from God on how to change things up, on what to do next. And if you have teenagers in the house and all they are doing is on their phones and they're just brain dead, then guess what? God is saying, come on, let's pull them out of that. Let's put some new things in them. Let's go on a walk. Let's go on a hike. Let's make this happen. God is going to pull some giftings out in you and your families during this season. Romans 10, 14 through 15 says, but how can they call him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? Hold on. That means someone's got to tell someone about Jesus. Guess who that is? You. Guess who that is? Me. Guess who that is? Pastor Dan, the staff. That is all of us. We are on assignment. That is where we're putting our faith to action. And it says, and how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? This is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring the good news. This reminds me of Alice in Wonderland. Have you ever seen that movie? I love that movie when I was young. And Alice is talking to the Cheshire Cat, and she says, "Would you please tell me which way I ought to go from here?" "That depends a good deal of where you want to go," the Cheshire Cat says. "I don't much care where," said Alice. "Then it doesn't matter which way you go," said the cat. And as Alice, so are we as the church. With objectives, we will have nowhere to go. And with fear, we will go nowhere. It will just keep us wandering aimlessly. But if we begin to put faith into our mission, into our direction, into our purpose, we are going to get some things done for the kingdom. We're going to always be ready for when God puts someone in front of us. I want to tell this story about my mother-in-law. She was, I think it was day two of losing her husband, my father, a few weeks ago. She went to the grocery store. She said she was standing in line at the grocery store. And she said everybody was a little crabby, which we all understand because of the circumstances we're in. And the cashier was just really kind of grumpy. And she said, "When I go up there, I'm gonna encourage this woman." And so she walked up. And it should have been the other way around. She just lost her husband. But she walked up to the cashier and she said, "How you doing today?" The cashier was like, rah, 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 grumbling and complaining. And she's like, "Well, I'm going to pray that you find joy in your day." And she said, "Well, somebody else was telling me about that." And she goes, "I actually just read today in the scripture that to count it all joy through various trials." And she goes, "That seems kind of hard, doesn't it?" And the lady goes, "Well, yeah, but some, you know, it's funny. Somebody else talked to me about that scripture earlier." And she's like, "Well, I'm going to pray that you have a better day." And she gave her a Rock Church little invite. She wrote down the website, and she invited her to come to church online. And she was on mission. Here she was, a woman grieving and should have been in her own pain and her own sorrow. But she realized, "I've got to put my faith to work. I've got to stand out there, and I've got to put myself in front of that woman because I've got to make sure that before God one day that I'm going to stand before him and he can say, 'Well done, good and faithful servant.'" You see, just as she did it, you can do it. When you go to the store, when you go to the gas station, when you go through the Starbucks drive-thru, I don't know what you're doing, but when you go to work, just remember you're on mission. Let's do this for the kingdom. James 1:3 says, For you know that when your faith is tested, right now we're being tested, church, that your endurance has a chance to grow. Let's allow our faith to grow in this season. Let's put ourselves out there. What did we learn tonight? Number one, how to keep myself in faith and not in fear. I will listen to my Father. I will speak faith over the fear, and I will put action to my faith. If you got a word from God tonight, let's just thank him right now. Lord, we thank you for the word that you've given to us. Lord, allow our faith to increase in this season. Lord, allow fear to have no place in our life. Lord, I pray, God, that as we step out and as we put ourselves out there, that Holy Spirit, that you would lead and you would go before us, that you bring people across our path, Holy Spirit, and that their lives would be changed and that they have an encounter with you in this time and in this season.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.